Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Part two of your sermon right now. I had the privilege of sitting in the back row with my son Christian, and we, along with 70 other people, all just came back from CrossCon, and he just mentioned me. He's like, "Dad, these were the best seats at the conference." So it's funny perspective. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's the very last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And if you would put your finger on verse 19, we're going to read the last six verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning. But we're going to focus on one verse that I feel like the Lord really struck my heart a couple months ago when Spence asked me and Darren and Brennan to fill the pulpit for him while he's gone. And it was verse 22. And Paul writes, "If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed." Ugh, our Lord come. So that's the verse that arrested me, and I just did a little studying. Hopefully, I will encourage your hearts. So I'd like to start out with my favorite Christmas movie and one of my favorite quotes in my favorite Christmas movie. How many of you guys seen the movie Elf? Okay, just about everybody. One of my favorite scenes is when Buddy the Elf comes in after he's been on a date, and do you remember the famous line? He does a twirl. I'm not going to do that, but he says, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it." That should get at least a giggle. Well, I just remember that scene, and I thought about when people come to Jesus and they get saved, they're like Buddy the Elf. They're in love with Jesus. They're in love with Jesus, and they don't care who knows about it. And by God's grace, I bring you good news of great joy. This past year, I personally saw six people get saved here in our church. I know there's others that I'm not familiar with, but we saw six young people get right with Jesus, leave darkness, and enter into the kingdom of God's light, the kingdom of His Son. And I started thinking about it. The Bible teaches, I've witnessed, and I heard John Piper say, some kinds of love can grow cold and die. And if you've been a Christian long enough, you've seen some people that had a white-hot passion for Jesus, and over time, their love for Jesus just grew cold. And that burdens me for our church, and that burdens me for people in our church, and that burdens me for me, because I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Oh, God, take my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. And I'm the laziest person I know, and I can drift out of this vibrant love relationship I have with Jesus and go into a perfunctory, I just go to church and I do all the right things and I believe all the right doctrines and I say I love Jesus, but I don't spend any time with Him. So in 2024, as we start the new year, I ask you this very pointed question. Do you love Jesus? Not what's your church attendance like, how good ABF class is going for you, but do you love Jesus? Are you like that cold-hearted husband who said, "I told my wife I loved her 20 years ago, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know"? Is that your Christianity? I prayed a prayer back when I was in high school, and I'm good to go. Or do you have a vibrant relationship with Jesus? Well, the church of Corinth that we're going to look at had kind of seemed to have drifted away into all sorts of bad things, a lot of sin. And we'll take a look at that in a second. But it reminded me of Capernaum. If you're familiar with Capernaum in the Bible, that was Jesus' home turf for 3 years. He performed most of his miracles in Capernaum. He spent the majority of those 3 years of ministry in Capernaum. And he said this incredible thing. He said, "Capernaum, are you going to go up to the heights?" He said, "No, you're going to go down to the depths." He said, "Woe to you, Capernaum. It's going to go better for Sodom on the day of judgment than for Capernaum." I thought, what did Capernaum do wrong that would be worse than gross immorality that Sodom was guilty of that actually got burned up? What would be worse than that? And all I could come up with was they were kind of indifferent to Jesus. They lived in the same town or same region. That's him over there. He heals people, but I got other things to do. And they didn't have a love for Jesus. They kind of had a love for themselves. And, well, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, Capernaum." And I think what he's saying is not repent of some gross sins. He's like, repent of a lack of love for me. I came for you. So the church of Corinth, as we're going to look at right here, the last couple of verses of this letter, the church of Corinth, one author said it this way, they were smug and self-indulgent. And I'm like, why was Corinth so smug and self-indulgent? And it turns out that Corinth, the church of Corinth, was very wealthy. And they would have said, man, we got a lot going on. We got it going on with the Lord. Look how he's blessing us financially. And maybe he was, but maybe riches is a curse, like the Bible teaches repeatedly, and not quite a blessing. So this church had become kind of smug and self-indulgent. And they thought they had it going on. And Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians to this church, a little background. Paul had founded the church, and he had spent 18 months building people up, growing them, making disciples, like our brochure says. And then he went on his travels, and he writes this letter back, and he had five blind spots he pointed out to the church there. Number one, he pointed out, well, let me just go over them real quickly with you. Number one, he points out that they were proud. They were boasting in their teachers. They were saying, I follow Paul. No, I follow Apollos. No, I follow Cephas. And my guy's better than your guy. And that led to division in the church. This letter also had to correct sexual sin that was in the church. Sexual immorality was rampant, and it was tolerated. In some cases, it was even celebrated how tolerant they were of people sinning in that way. The church of Corinth was selfish. They were eating food sacrificed to idols, which caused others to stumble. So these people were saying, well, I have the right to eat this food that was sacrificed to idols because I know it's just whatever. It was just sacrificed to an idol, and I got a good deal on it at the meat market, so I can still eat it. But it was causing their brothers and sisters that were a little weaker in their conscience to stumble. And I thought about, what would that church have been like when COVID went on? I saw so many people say, it's my right not to wear a mask, or it's my right to not obey the rules of the government, and it was causing other brothers and sisters to stumble. So this church was selfish. They were thinking of themselves in the area of food sacrificed to idols. Another area where this church was stumbling and had blind spots, they were self-indulgent. We just took the Lord's Supper, communion. Back then, they would spend the whole afternoon together taking the Lord's Supper, and they'd eat a meal together, and they'd drink together. Well, some people would get there early. They'd eat all the food real quick, and some of them were even getting drunk. And then the other people came like, what's going on? So Paul was correcting how they were the proper way to take communion. So these people were proud. They were struggling with sexual sin. They were selfish. They were self-indulgent. And then they had no love for others in the dealing with spiritual gifts. Every Christian gets a spiritual gift. But these people were using the spiritual gift to promote themselves. And Paul had to write, you know, if you have all these gifts, but you don't have love, you're like a gong. Some people are like, I'm a preacher, gong. Well, I'm a teacher, gong. Well, I can heal people, gong. Well, I can speak in foreign languages, gong. So these people didn't have love, and the spiritual gifts were used to build up one another, not promote self. So Paul had all these correctives for these people, and he wrote this corrective letter. But he ends the letter, which we're going to look at today, saying, you guys are losing, but you haven't lost yet. So he finishes his letter in verse 19, these last verses of the chapter. And now we can read that together. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Just pretty much standard fare, greetings and salutations. And then verse 22, out of the blue, it seems. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Notice it doesn't say if anyone is proud, let him be accursed. If anyone struggles with sexual sin, let him be accursed. If anyone is selfish, let him be accursed. If anyone is self-indulgent, let him be accursed. If anyone has no love for others, let him be accursed. No, the good news of the gospel is, well, Tim Keller said it, we're more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we're more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. The good news I bring you into 2024, maybe you're guilty of some of these sins like the Corinthian church was. I looked up different sins of the Bible, and I found 84. I was going to recite them all to you, but I thought, boy, I'm guilty of all 84 of those at one time in my life or another. The good news of the gospel isn't try harder, do good, be better. It's Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You see, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, you're very guilty. You might even feel guilty this morning. The reason you feel guilty this morning is because you're guilty.
The most guilty person here is behind the pulpit right now. I'm guilty too. But Jesus paid my fine. Thus, I love him. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Now, what does this love look like? I studied a little bit. The Greek, there's a bunch of different kinds of love. This love is like love for a dear friend. It's a living, vibrant, growing relationship between two friends. So I ask you today, do you have this living, vibrant, loving relationship with Jesus? Is he your friend? Is he someone you talk to? Is he someone you confide in? Is he someone you let him speak to you through the word? Is it someone Darren's going to talk about? Do you obey him? Is he your friend today? Do you love Jesus entering 2024? You see, the good news, it's his resume. It's not mine. And it's his resume. It's not yours. The last words said on the cross are, "It is finished, paid in full." And Jesus said before he died, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." The reason I love Jesus is because he first loved me. Why do you love Jesus? Can you honestly say you do today? Or have you forgotten, as Brennan reminded us, have you forgotten what he's done for you? I don't love Jesus for willy-nilly reasons. I love Jesus because he died on a cross for 6 hours in my place. And as a result, I want to love him back with what limited time I have left on the planet, including going into 2024. It's not in your notes, but I just like to read this famous passage of scripture. You remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to his disciples on the beach and he had breakfast prepared for him and he made him a hot meal? Well, Peter had just found out how sinful and flawed he actually was. Remember, he denied Jesus 3 times. And I just like to read this passage, very famous, out of John 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Brothers and sisters, the world, the flesh, and the devil has a main point of attack against every one of you who are a Christian here today. It's to forget what he's done and to stop loving Jesus in 2024. May it not be said of you that you have no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? I asked people who have denied Jesus more than 3 times, do you love him? I'll end with this. Visiting shut-ins is one of the roles here at the church that I do, and I get to see a lot of people in the 11th hour that are in nursing homes or homeward bound, and I visit them. And it's funny, at the end of your life, if you don't get taken out suddenly, at the end of your life, you're going to realize this incredible fact that all you have is Jesus. Family's gone, your health is gone, your finances are gone, and all you have is Jesus. I'm here to tell you, visiting so many people, taking their last few days here on earth, Jesus is enough. And he's satisfactory for you. And he's satisfactory for me. So in 2024, I ask you this question. Do you have a living, growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus? Are you like Buddy the Elf who says, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it? That's my prayer for you in 2024, because that's my prayer for me in 2024. And by hook or by crook, I'm going to make every effort to keep loving Jesus this year. Let's pray. Lord, I know how to be a good church boy. I know how to do good church attendance. I know how to say the right things. And that makes me super dangerous position, Lord. I want to love you. I want to never forget what you've done to have this vibrant, loving, personal relationship with you. And Lord Jesus, I pray for my friends. Lord, I pray that it would be their focus in 2024. By hook or by crook, I'm going to stay in love with Jesus. I'm not going to forget what he's done for me. And by his grace and the motivation that comes from what he's done for me, the good news that Jesus paid it all, I'm going to live for him and I'm going to love him back in 2024. Help my friends in this room. have a friendship with you that's closer than a brother. I pray, Lord, for the people in this room that maybe they'd say, I have no idea what you're talking about this friendship. I pray, Lord, that today would be the day they enter into that relationship with you, that they lay down their self-righteousness and they'd say, Jesus, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Every hour I need you. And Lord, that they would see themselves as sinful and flawed, but loved and accepted in Jesus in 2024. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for loving me first. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.